Welcome back
to another episode of the Woman Strength Society show.
Whoop whoop.
Today we are going to talk about the building phase and how to eat a lot of food.
That was one of the questions I got.
Yeah.
How am I able to eat that much food in my building phase?
It's a good question. It's a good question because you can eat a lot. And I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with, or it's hard for them to understand that it can be a struggle to eat too much, because most of the time it's the opposite. It's like, how am I going to be able to eat less and not be hungry? And it's hard to understand that it can be a problem in the other direction, that you want to eat so much to build your muscles that it can become difficult to actually eat the calories you need to build those muscles. So tell us how much calories.
How much
are you eating right now? Because you are in your build.
So I'm currently eating almost 3,000 calories on my lower body days. So when I'm training my lower body, because this is the area I want to grow. And I'm eating less on my rest days, and I'm eating less on my upper body days, because that's not the main focus. And for the eating part, I think that's true. You will only experiencing this if you are going through a building phase, because if you are not, then you are not really forced to eat that much calories, enough calories to grow. In my first build, it definitely was more a challenge for me.
And I can remember you were eating 200 calories less than you are eating right now.
Yeah. But I think it's also because, okay, there are different reasons, I think, why it's now easier. First, I can eat a lot. I think, I don't know, I'm gifted. But
it was already the case 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I had never really struggled with eating more food. And I'm also currently on my lower body days, where I'm eating almost 3,000 calories. I don't feel like super duper full.
Yeah.
Like I can't walk.
So how do you do that? What are you eating? How often are you eating?
So I'm eating 3 times per day. I have my breakfast, I have a lunch, I have also intra-workout carbs, I have a snack, and I have a dinner. So let us say 5.
Yeah.
I wasn't counting the intra-workout carbs, but on my training days I have them. So I'm getting calories in also during my workout, which makes a huge difference, because if you are saving up your calories, or you're not that consistent with your meals across the day, and then you're coming home and you need to eat like 1,000 calories, then you will feel full for sure.
Yeah. So I think this is something that is super important. Also, because the main goal of a calorie surplus is to fuel the performance of the workout and to improve the recovery after the workout. But you want to actually use the extra calories around your training, so that the stimulus that you get from the training, which is like the trigger for a muscle building, so that you have a better response. And I think you can testify to that, and maybe tell us also a story of what happened when you did not have carbs intra-workout and you ended up having to eat like 1,000 calories for dinner.
Yeah, that's worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And I had that, I think, last week, where I missed my snack due to work. So we were focusing on writing the nutrition guide, and I missed one meal. I think it was on the weekend. And at the end of the, and then it was like, oh, it's already evening. Oh, it's already dinner time, because we are trying also to eat not that late at night. So I had 1,000 calories, and then I need to be very strategic in how to get them in. Yeah. I mean, I can't then eat like potatoes and a lot of veggies, but I then need to eat some stuff that is more calorie dense.
Yeah, more processed.
More processed.
Yeah.
And I can only eat more like single ingredient foods if I'm very smart in distributing my calories across the day and really sticking to my meal times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what I also changed and what was a big change for me is when I have breakfast in the morning, I remind myself that I'm in a building phase and that I will train later in the day so that I will add more calories to my breakfast already.
Yeah.
And not be like, oh, this is enough, because I can also eat less. It's no problem for me to also have a smaller breakfast and I'm totally fine. But just adding, for example, one tortilla wrap adds a lot of calories already for my breakfast that I have more energy going into my training session.
Yeah, I think this is super important. Like, if you want to eat a lot of calories, then you have to start early. you have to have like a breakfast that's a breakfast.
Yeah, not a shake.
Not a shake. Or I think a shake would work, but what I mean by that is you want to have a breakfast that has like nutrient and calories, and skipping breakfast and then just having like a coffee or a latte or something like that, then it's just not going to work, because then you are going to have to eat a lot later on during the day, and this is far from ideal.
Yeah.
So start early with your eating, eat enough early in the day, eat a lot around your training, around your workouts, and if you need to, then also use some energy dense processed food, because it's going to be a bit easier to get the calories down. So for example, it doesn't have to be chocolate or like something super fancy, but for you, it's instead of eating potatoes or rice, then you eat tortilla wraps, because they don't give a lot of volume and it's easier for you to eat a lot of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I have that currently for my breakfast and for my lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And in the evening I have pasta.
Yeah, but you still eat vegetables.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you still eat
meat with every meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And then on top, in the evening, I add some sauce, just a little bit. But that's not a lot. That's like 30 grams or something.
Yeah, but it's not like you are eating the whole day chocolate and gummy bears. And
gummy bears. No.
That kind of stuff.
No, but also, like I said earlier, for me, the biggest switch was thinking already when I prepare my breakfast, like, okay, I'm in a building phase. I want those muscles. I want to grow. I want to perform in my training session. Then eat the extra wrap or eat the extra bread or put on more potatoes or more rice or whatever it is that gives you more energy. Put it on your plate. Don't try to save it up for later because later is like, it's too late. You need the energy, especially with those foods. It's different with like a maltodextrin, which I'm drinking like during, before my training session, which gives me like more faster energy for my training. But again, adding this in my training sessions also gives me a lot of calories, because I'm drinking 60 to 80 grams of maltodextrin.
Yeah, so it's 240 calories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even more.
Yeah, it's half a meal.
Yeah, half a meal that I'm drinking in like half liter.
Yeah. I think this is also like legit to drink those calories like during the workout, but also like to add a post-workout shake is something that is going to be super helpful to just get more calories in and not have your gut being super stressed out because you have to eat a lot of big meals. And this is like one of the thing That's going to be problematic at some point. And the best way you can work around that is drink the calories in the form of shakes. So it doesn't mean that you have to drink like a milkshake with ice cream and that kind of stuff, but still with some fruits that you mix in, maltodextrin, whey protein, that kind of stuff, as a post-workout shake is going to be super helpful. But also just eat more often.
Mm.
Because this is going to be helpful to keep your meals relatively small, and then you are not going to be as full as if you have like three meals of 800 calories and then two snacks of less. So that's a bit difficult. And if you eat more often, like five or six times a day, then it's going to be way easier to manage the calories that you have, and to be able to still eat relatively clean and not just grab to the
gummy bears.
Yeah, gummy bears and chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah. That's for the nutrition part. And maybe also what I wanted to mention is that I think a lot of women are maybe also scared to go into a building phase because they have this idea of, oh no, then I need to eat that much and I will gain so much weight and stuff like that. But I think more women should focus on just eating at maintenance calories, but still having this mindset of I want to grow muscles.
Yeah.
And even if you are around maintenance calories somewhere there, maybe adding some extra fuel on your lower body days or wherever you want to grow on your training days, it can be very helpful to grow muscles. You don't have to like add a 500 plus calories to your day.
Because the thing is, you cannot force muscle growth by eating more.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people think like, hey, I'm eating more.
Yeah, and thus then the muscle will grow. But yeah. the sequence is first you have to have a trigger, which is the training. And then it's not just like I'm going to train, but the training has to reach a certain threshold, so a certain level of intensity or volume, so that your body has to adapt. And then the food and the sleep comes second and third, because this is what you are going to... those are the building blocks of the muscles. But if you don't have the stimulus of the training, then you are not going to grow muscle. And just adding more and more and more and more calories doesn't mean that you are going to grow more muscles, because we are limited in our ability to grow muscle. Otherwise, we would all be professional bodybuilder on the Olympia stage, but it's just not the case. So it's limits that we have, and being strategic about when to use those extra calories is something that is going to be super helpful to limit the amount of body fat you're going to weigh. And this is something that you talked about. You say like, hey, I'm eating more on my lower body days, because you have bigger muscle groups that, and this is the body part that you want to grow. So on those days, you are going to give a bit more calories.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on the other one, not so much, because the need for those calories is just a bit lower or not there at all.
Yeah.
And this is something that you have to keep in mind if you want to limit the amount of body fat that you're going to gain and to make sure that you grow the muscles you want to actually grow.
Yeah. So also when we are like working with our ladies inside Women's Strength Society, when we are entering a building phase, it doesn't mean that we will push your calories sky high or that we will give you a huge surplus. It's not like building phase doesn't equal surplus calories. It can also mean that you will get some surplus calories on those training days where we want to push performance and where we want to see you grow. But on a weekly average, you will still be around your maintenance calories.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people expect, like when you're entering a building phase, then, wow, now I will get a huge amount of calories and I will not be able to eat it and I will have so much food, and it's not the case.
It's not the case. And also, as far as training goes, you're going to feel like if you train the right way, then you are going to feel that your body needs those calories, and it's going to feel quite natural to want to increase the calories. And if you don't feel that, then maybe it's just because your training is not, either the intensity is not there or there's not enough volume. But if you just keep adding calories without having the feeling that you need them, then you might be going a bit too fast.
Yeah.
And this is also something that has to do with mindset. And you briefly touched on that, so I want to ask more questions about that. What are you thinking when you go into a building phase? Because you started like last year after your diet, you were super shredded and you were like, hey, I don't have a lot of muscle. I need to grow.
I think this is always what I think after a cutting phase. I'm like always like, I want some more. I want some more.
But it started there and then it was clear, okay, now the next step is going to be like a quite long building phase. And then...
we're already 1 year in.
We are already 1 year in. This is crazy. And then you had different part to it. And in between you also had like a small... It was... Yeah, mini cut or a small like fat loss phase of 7 weeks. So it means that your mind had to adjust what you were thinking and your mindset, depending on the different phase that you went through in the 12 month, the last 12 months. So maybe you can walk us through that.
I think the first point was end of my fat loss phase where I had this urge to like just go back into training and feeling fueled and ready for my performance in comparison to going through a fat loss phase where training feels hard, you're not that motivated, you're not that energized, especially at the end of your fat loss phase, especially if you are very lean or if you're getting very, very lean in the late stages of your fat loss phase. So I had this feeling of, that's hard. And then it was over and I was like, okay, I want to go back to building. I want to fuel my body. I want to perform well. I want to hit some PBs. That was my thought. And in comparison to the first building phase I had, it was completely different. Because in my first building phase, it was the first time I focused on strength goals. Where I also did some very low reps in my training program with Hattie. Some pyramid training, rep schemes, stuff like that. And I had my back squats and my conventional deadlifts and bench press, like the big lifts, which was fun. But in this building phase, I was really like, okay, but what's really my goal? My goal is not strength. My goal is hypertrophy. So I need to find out what do I need to have in my training sessions to make sure that I'm pursuing this hypertrophy goal, because it's slightly different if you want to focus on one or the other. It's not that strength will not come also with like growing muscles, but it's not the main focus. And at the beginning, the biggest struggle for me was exercise selection. And finding exercises that helped me really target the muscles that I wanted to grow. For my quads, it was never a problem. But for my glutes, it was I struggled with that. Thinking back now of the last couple of months, I think this has been the biggest struggle for me in this building phase.
We are going to record like a whole podcast episode on that topic, but maybe you can just like very briefly summary, you know, just give us a summary of why it was a struggle.
It was a struggle because I can get into a very good hip hinge. So my hip flexion is very, very good. So it's hard for me to... Or it's not hard. I can get into the position of getting a nice stretch on my glute muscles, but then making sure that other muscles are not participating too much in getting myself out of the position that was the challenge. Mm-hmm. For example, doing an RDL, I need to go, I can go very far backwards with my hips, which will also lead to my upper body to
going very, very low.
Pretty low, yeah. So that my lower back needs to do also some kind of work mm-hmm. to get myself out of this position.
And you also get like an insane stretch on your hamstrings.
Insane stretch on my hamstrings. Yeah. So it was no problem to grow my hamstrings for sure. My lower back.
Yeah.
But the glutes, that was tricky, especially for exercises where I'm training my glute muscle in its lengthened position, mm-hmm. which was the focus. It was not the focus to focus that much on
shortened position,
yeah. like hip thrusts.
Yeah, cool.
So that was challenging.
Yeah,
for sure finding that, and it took me some time.
To find the right exercise.
Yeah, to find the right exercise. And I would say I'm now in the spot where I feel like, okay, I have my couple of exercises. Yeah. It's crazy.
So it took almost 6 months?
It took almost 6 months to really and dial that in.
It's not like you tried like 1,000 different exercises. Like the same exercise, but you tried different setup.
Yeah.
Different executions.
Yeah, it was like I had also, just for an example, I had at the beginning split squats. Mm-hmm. Then I had split squats with my front foot and rear foot elevated. Then I was like, I'm feeling a lot my quads working here. I cannot keep the tension in my glutes, pushing myself out of this bottom position, which is very challenging. Although I'm getting a good stretch on my glutes, but I was not working like... Yeah. Pushing myself out of this hole with the help of my glutes was my quad working. Then I switched to reverse lunges. Mm-hmm. Then I had a better feeling, but I dropped the weight so that I can really have like a very controlled eccentric, a little pause at the bottom, pushing myself out, establishing a bit more of this mind-muscle connection in this movement. And now I've added a deficit mm-hmm. on my reverse lunge.
Yeah.
And now my coach is, hey, have you tried to add elevation also at your rear foot? So you have like a split squat. And I was like, maybe we can go now back into it, but maybe it would... Maybe it will be different now. And maybe that was needed to get me to the point to elevate that. But it was just too challenging.
Cool. To begin with. So let's do a quick recap of the training and the mindset, because I was interested to hear like your thought going into this phase of growing, and I want people to understand like what kind of mindset you need to have when you go into
beast mode
building phase. And it's going to sound super super simple and even a bit like dumb, but the mindset you want to have when you go into a building phase is you want to build muscles.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah?
And maybe it sounds funny, but it's actually super essential, because then you are going to ask different questions. You are going to shift your focus in 100%. Different ways. And if you say like, hey, what am I actually doing? Is it going to help me build muscle? Is what I'm doing going to help me build muscle? Then you are going to come to very different answers. And
100%. You're not also getting distracted that much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you. There are some exercises which doesn't make sense for you, or which doesn't have priority when you're going for muscle growth. So,
for example, a conventional deadlift.
And if you find it cool to do a conventional deadlift, that's totally fine. But maybe put it into a phase of your training career where you're focusing on more like...
Strength development.
Yeah. And focusing on like the big lifts, powerlifting style. But think in like phases and try to get the most out of each phase. That doesn't mean you can't do all the fancy, funny things you see on the gram, or doing a muscle up or a pull up or the deadlift or a bench press. But if your focus is then muscle growth and it's, for example, glute growth, then you need to choose the exercises that will help you to reach the goal, no matter if you like it or not.
Yeah, that's one way to go about it. But then again, you can also say like, hey, I'm fine if I only get like 70 or 80% of the results, and then the rest is going to be more fun. It's absolutely fine as well. You can see that on a spectrum. And then, so that's like the basic frame, but then you still have to search for the right way for you to grow those muscles. And what's not going to be super helpful is if your training plan is changing a lot. And maybe you can also quickly talk about that, because you're basically doing the exact same training plan. Like the structure is the exact same
since March. Yeah, it's the same training program.
Yeah.
And I don't know who told me this, but someone was like, but how are you doing this? Like, you're doing all the time like the same rep range. And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing all of the time the same rep range, and I can still progress in some sort of way. It's the same structure. I just had some variations of exercises, but I'm always doing a slow eccentric tempo. I'm always trying to control the eccentric. I'm always trying to control the pause or the position after the eccentric
movement. You're not super explosive on the concentric so that you can control the movement?
Absolutely. And it's really about having this, building up this tension in the muscle and controlling the movement and knowing what the movement is about, what I'm actually trying to achieve here.
Yeah.
When I'm doing my hip hinge,
it's not just about adding more weights and adding more reps.
No, and I've also lowered the weight on a lot of exercises, and I also send like videos to my coach, and it was like too fast on the tempo, and he was like, drop the weight. It's like just too fast, and you will have more benefits out of it if you drop the weight, if you train lighter. But if you control the movement and if you build up the tension in the targeted muscle.
Yeah, because when you do this, what's going to happen is the tension you get is going to be more specific to the muscle you target. And it's not going to be spread out across other tissues in your body. So it can be either other muscles, or it can be also just like tendons and that kind of stuff, connective tissues.
Yeah.
And you're not really of course, it's good to have a stimulus and tension in those tissues as well, but you're going to create less fatigue overall in your whole body, less strain on some structures that maybe don't respond as well to that kind of training. If you manage to really control the weight and then really, really create that tension in the muscle. And what we are saying is not that you're just going to lower the weight and focus only on the quality
technique.
of the movement and the technique. This is just like the first step. And then the second step is going to reach the intensity where you have a lot of mechanical tension. So where you are training very close to failure.
Yeah.
And then you are going to adjust the volume according to the progress you are making. Is that a good summary of what you've been doing the last 6 months?
Yeah, that's a very good summary. So it's quite simple.
Yeah.
It's very, very simple. Break it down to the basics and focus on what really matters for the goal. And for me, it was on some days or phases, I was like, what am I actually doing here? Maybe I need to change things up. Maybe I need to do things differently, because you don't see the progress like from week to week, from day to day, like in a fat loss phase. But it's more a long-term project, and you need to be like in there with a long-term mindset.
Yeah, I think one of the very good things your coach told you that reminded you of that was when he was speaking about switching exercise.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
Because I was telling him, hey, I switched out the RDL for the good morning because I had some tension on my neck. I just wanted to switch it up with a different exercise. And he told me, yeah, that's really good. I think you will get a very nice stimulus from both exercises. You should rotate them on a yearly basis. And I was like, oh, that's the time frame. So we are talking here in years.
Yeah.
I was like,
All right.
So now good mornings until next year, and then going back to RDLs.
So what would you say to people that find it a bit boring? Like, what's helping you, like, staying focused and committed to that goal? Because there are some moments where you're like, blah.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me it's always the mindset of it takes what it takes to reach my goal. Remembering myself why I want to reach it, why it's important to me to do it now. And I mean, if I would find out that I'm not that interested anymore in reaching the goal, like in the process, I would probably stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will ask myself, hey, why is this currently my goal? What was it like 1 year back? What was my thought? Why did I want it to build muscles? That helps me. And then it's just a job.
You were too skinny.
I was too skinny.
That's why.
Yeah, I was 10 kilo lighter.
Yeah.
Very ripped. So yeah, remembering myself, asking myself those questions has helped me. And then also knowing, hey, it's a process and it's a phase. And the phase is at some point over and I will go into another phase. So let's get the most out of it.
Yeah, you're already talking about it now. Like, you're already talking about the next photo shoot.
Yeah.
And how you want to do the next cutting phase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know, like, I have like 4 months maybe left.
Yeah.
In my build. And that's not a lot.
So now it's the time to really...
Maybe I should build a year longer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like... It's crazy. Yeah. I think people are going too fast, like, into this phase and then out again.
Yeah.
And
yeah, absolutely.
It takes really time. I would even recommend to stay there minimum 1 year, minimum. I think everything else below that is a bit...
It's too short.
Yeah.
Yeah, one last thing before we wrap it up. It's about the weight fluctuation and maybe the changes in your body, because you said you are 10 kilo heavier than 1 year ago. Obviously, you are going to look a bit different. How do you manage that? What kind of effect does it have on your mindset, if any?
I think I managed it very well because I had the right expectations going into the building phase. Mm. So one year back, when I talked to my like former coach, we already talked about if I'm going in a building phase before I'm doing another cut, what would be like for my height, a body weight we are striving for.
Yeah.
Because we know like, hey, this is the weight at the end of your fat loss phase, you're super shredded. So if you're reversing back, you will end up here. And then if you want to go into a building phase for a year, then you will end up here.
Mm-hmm.
So from the beginning, I knew that 60 kilo will be probably my weight that I will reach in my building phase.
Mm.
So I think expectation setting was very...
Very important.
Very important.
Yeah.
Or it was like, okay, I know what's coming.
Yeah.
And that has helped because until now I haven't freaked out about my weight.
Yeah.
I was only freaking out because I wasn't able to wear my favorite jeans or the jeans that I bought. So I had to wear I need to wear a lot of... leggings and joggers because it's just more comfortable than wearing a jeans. And yeah, I don't know. I guess a lot of women have a problem with putting on weight, but for me I think it's easier if you've gone through a dieting phase successfully, it's easier to go into a building phase because you know exactly what it takes to lose the body fat again.
Yeah. And this is something you've done several times now.
Yeah.
So it's easier for you to just switch in your mind, like, hey, now it's going to be cutting phase, calories are going to drop, I know what to expect, I'm going to be a bit more hungry, blah, 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 blah.
I know how to switch up my foods. Yeah. I don't know what I'm, yeah, what is happening.
And how about, like, the changes you see in the mirror, because you still take progress picture quite often, mm-hmm. like maybe 2 times a month, mm-hmm. maybe a bit less.
Yeah.
And you are a bit more
full.
A bit more full, a bit more fluffy is not the right word, but a bit more full than a year ago, definitely.
I think I've maintained pretty well body composition in my building phase, definitely different than in my first build, mm-hmm. because I paid more attention to when I'm eating, what I'm eating. It was not a pizza diet this time.
Pizza and ice cream.
But it was like more focused on fueling my body for performance. Mm-hmm. And had a big impact. So I'm not that fat.
No. Yeah, you have a good conditioning.
Yeah.
And you know that it's going to go away again when you decide to go on a cut.
Exactly.
Cool.
So.
Do you have anything to add?
Just that building is cool and every woman should do it. Definitely. I mean, if your goal is to be the badass babe, to get strong, to build your physique, then you will need to spend some time building muscles, and don't like just dip your toe in and then be like, I don't want to do this, but really be just... Like you're in a fat loss phase when you're like, yeah, I want to reveal all this hard work. You need to do the hard work first, and you need to put the work in your building phase, growing and creating this body, because this is actually the most fun part.
Yeah, the process.
But also the hardest. It's harder than the fat loss phase for me.
Cool. So a quick recap. If you want to be able to eat more food, then eat more often. Drink a bit of those calories. Be strategic about when you drink them so that you can also have some calories during your workout, which is going to have a positive impact on your performance, but also on the recovery. Have the right expectations that building is going to take a lot of time. Not a lot of time, but a very long time.
Yeah.
Because the amount of time you're going to invest is going to be pretty much the same than in the cutting phase.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same training. As far as training goes, then really make sure that you take the time to understand what you are doing, why you are doing it, and how you can measure it. So that the main metrics is still going to be added reps, added weight, but with a technique that is very, very much on point so that you can target the muscle. What else?
Tracking your body composition.
Tracking the weight is a big help. Making progress pictures so that you can see that it's not just the weight that's increasing on the scale, but that you still have like a good conditioning after your cutting phase, and you are building mainly muscles, and then keep in mind that this is a phase, that it's going to have an end before you go into the next cutting phase, where you're going to be able to reveal what you've built up until this point.
Yeah. Squeeze everything out.
This recap was helpful, and the whole show was something that gave you some idea what you think about when you go into your building phase.
Leave us a review and share it with your friends.
Exactly. If you know someone who's in a building phase right now, or who thinks about going into a building phase, or who know that they want to get strong in the gym, then really share this episode with them, and then talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.